Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Back in the studio.
Yay.
And as Cameron, our, what do we call Cameron?
The voice guy?
The voice guy?
Yeah, he's the voice of our radio show.
Cameron Thomas, fantastic, fantastic drummer and voiceover guy. He says, as you just heard, our purpose here is to inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. And we also like bringing you the latest news available and giving you our opinions and viewpoints, even Mike's opinion.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
For what it's worth.
And Jessica always has something to say. So I have about 10 articles here. You ready to jump in?
I love 10? Doing these. These are fun.
Yeah, we'll see what we think. Now, this comes from Dr. Mercola, but he's citing the Los Angeles Times and MSNBC, all from September 2011. And the title of the article is, "You Won't Believe What the New Number One Cause of Preventable Death in the U.S. Is."
Drugs.
You're right. He says, he quotes Los Angeles Times here, how drug deaths now outnumber traffic fatalities in the United States. Isn't that interesting? And at a time when most major causes of preventable death are declining, the death toll for drugs has doubled in the last decade.
I thought they were supposed to make you better.
Drugs?
Yeah.
Well, they might make you feel better, but I mean, here's literally the Los Angeles Times quote. Yeah, overdose victims range in age and circumstance from teenagers who pop pills to get a heroin-like high to middle-aged working men and women who take medications prescribed for strained backs and bum knees and become addicted.
Prescription medication used to be very, very hard to get from a doctor.
Not so much
anymore. Now it's so easy.
Yeah.
Well, and then what happens is the article points out how these prescription pain and anxiety drugs are highly addictive and then dangerous when you combine them with other drugs or alcohol, especially drugs like OxyContin, Vicodin, Xanax, Soma, and fentanyl. They actually cause more deaths now than heroin and cocaine combined.
That's the trend.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And we've talked about how Vicodin, which, by the way, we take 99% of the Vicodin in the world here in the U.S. That was reported by ABC News.
That's nasty stuff.
Yeah, and it's called prescription heroin on the street. And then in related news, the number of children going to hospitals and emergency rooms after accidentally ingesting medication has increased in recent years. Between 2001 and 2008, there was a 36% increase in admissions for unintentional exposure to medication and a 28% increase in emergency department visits for the same reason among children 5 years old or younger. So we've got these little kids coming across this medication. Maybe they think it's candy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, maybe they hear mommy and daddy say how it makes them feel good, and you know, the kids get access to the medication.
You know, when I was a baby, I got into my mom's birth control pills and actually swallowed one. Thank God it wasn't a painkiller.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, it is sort of.
Maybe for you.
Okay, moving on. So this was sourced from drugs.com, also in September 2011, and the title is "Most Commonly Used ADHD Drug Found to Delay Puberty." And they're talking about Ritalin, which is the most widely used medication for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And it appears to delay puberty. This was a research study that was done on male monkeys. So when the primates were given the drug over 40 months, they experienced lower testosterone levels, smaller sized testicles, and impaired testicular descent.
Don't want any of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to consider before giving your son a drug for hyperactivity versus, you know, I don't know, maybe have them stop taking eating sugar all the time and get them away from the video games and make them go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Speaking of, the Wall Street Journal was just talking about recently, actually this was in April of 2011, how moving to self-management for arthritis and other chronic diseases is the new trend. So
what
listen,
do you mean self-management?
Right. So listen to this. So this article starts off with, they say, with obesity, sports injuries, and aging of the baby boomers, it's all driving an increase in osteoarthritis. So public health officials are steering these patients into self-management programs that use exercise classes, weight management, and other lifestyle counseling to reduce pain and disability.
What a genius idea.
Isn't that amazing? wow, like, let's actually look at the cause. Yeah, I mean, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they're doing this in 12 states. They're funding these programs that include what they call self-management education. And the thing is, when it actually comes down to money is why they're doing it. It's not like, oh, let's figure out the cause. It's, we can't help these people, so let's actually try to help them learn to live better as a way to manage their pain and to save money.
Hey, whatever it takes, I guess.
I mean, just learn how to be healthy, you know? It says, right. For those adults who can't find the time to attend classes or workshops offered at the community level, the National Council on Aging is offering an alternative, online courses that use the same principles to encourage patients to manage their condition and strictly follow the regimens. So, hey, at least they're catching on that, wow, if we actually teach people how to live better, they won't be as sick.
Duh.
It will save us money. I mean, chiropractors have been saying that for years. You know, you look at, practice members who say, wow, you know, I can invest, say, $100 to $200 a month on chiropractic care because that's a fraction of what I was paying for doctor visits and pain medication and my inhalers. And well, you just learn to live better and you save money. So this guy, Jay Greenberg, he's the senior vice president of the social enterprise at NCOA. He tells the health blog, which is, this was part of the Wall Street Journal's health blog, that his organization is talking with insurers and employers about making it part of benefit packages to encourage more patients to take control of their symptoms. He says, we aren't going to bend the cost curve on chronic diseases unless as a country we put self-management at the center of healthcare. Hallelujah.
Yeah, how long have you been preaching that, Jenny?
I know.
A long time.
I know. And then we can go on to Scientific American, September 2011, and they talk about superweeds. Superweeds pose a growing threat to the U.S. food supply. I bet you can't guess what company is involved in this one.
Merck?
No, that would be pharmaceuticals. But that's a good guess.
ConAgra or something? I don't know.
Close. Yeah, they make Roundup.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Merck did merge with McDonald's, so who knows who else they're, you know, doing business
with. Have you ever heard
with?
Of a little tiny company called Monsanto?
Oh, yes. Evil.
So the article says, so-called superweeds that are resistant to herbicide are boosting costs and cutting crop yields for U.S. farmers. With world food stores already strained, diminished crop production is a serious problem. The Monsanto Corporation made billions of dollars through sales of Roundup herbicide and Roundup Ready crops genetically modified to tolerate treatment with Roundup. But the products have begun to cause rampant resistance among weeds.
No way.
Isn't that crazy? Well, I mean, duh, I saw that one coming a mile away 5 years ago. Yeah, and according to Scientific American, they said, last month, representatives from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Agriculture, and there's actually a Weed Science Society of America, they toured the Midwest crop belt to see for themselves the impact of rising weed resistance. It is only going to get worse, said Lee Van Wyken, Director of Science Policy at the Weed Science Society of America. And, you know, from what I've heard and understood about Roundup is it's basically being required by farmers, because even if you try not to use it, those seeds are being blown onto the property, and then there's lawsuits against these small farmers. And basically Roundup has taken over our land, mm-hmm. and now it's causing superweeds. It's really no different than antibiotics causing superbugs.
Well, right. And the process of genetically modifying something causes cancer. So what are we doing to our world with this stuff?
Poisoning it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you want to just develop a little garden in your backyard, that's for sure. And hopefully you're not too close to a farm that has Roundup. Well, and I can tell you, one of my least favorite things in the entire world is pulling weeds from my garden. So I can't imagine what these super weeds are doing to farmers. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're actually going to see what the Wall Street Journal has to say about how physicians may heal themselves differently than their patients.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Back from break, and we are in the news today, giving you some of the top news stories. And we're back to the Wall Street Journal, and they said this year that physicians may heal themselves differently. It says that doctors were more likely to opt for treatments with a higher chance of death, but lower risk of serious side effects for themselves than for their patients in a survey of 940 primary care physicians. Isn't that interesting?
What's the point of that?
Well, it basically says that they use their own values to make decisions for themselves, but yet what they tell their patients is based on the assumption that a patient wants the information that will most likely allow them to live the longest, not necessarily the highest quality life.
Well, that must be the protocol that they're taught, though, right?
Well, and it's interesting because this actually was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. What it recommends, it says, don't ask for advice until the doctor understands you a little better, including how you weigh issues such as quality of life versus length of life. And when a physician gives advice, ask why he or she is making that recommendation, just so you know that your reasons align with their preferences.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So moving on, we have the British Medical Journal. This was 2011. It was published through Dr. Mercola's website and includes some information from GreenMed. And the topic is how over-the-counter drugs double the risk of miscarriage. And they're actually specifically talking about the association between the use of non-aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So that's the NSAIDs.
Is that like ibuprofen?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
And how the risk of spontaneous abortion or miscarriage has long been unclear with the two connections, but there's a recent study that was aimed to quantify the association. And the study was done with 4,700 women, and they found that some NSAIDs as much as doubled the risk.
You know, I brought that up to an OBGYN once, and she told me that was garbage.
How long ago was that?
Last year. Well, I read a similar article to that.
Well, and the article actually summarized these drugs should be used with caution during pregnancy.
Yeah, I believe it.
So like anything, it's important to know that this information is out there, and a doctor may or may not be aware of it or may or may not agree with the way a study was conducted, but there's enough information to really exercise caution. And you know, any drug, even if it's necessary to save a life, will have side effects. And of course, when you are pregnant, the toxicity of the drug can be detrimental to a child. So exercising caution during pregnancy with medication is just smart. Yeah. You know, it's a great time to exercise alternative ways to let your body heal, not just quickly going to a pain medication because you're uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Now, this also was on Dr. Mercola. It came from Arvosi Heda Lab, September of 2011. And it's asking the question, can inflammation in the gut be at the root of depression for some people? So he cites that recent studies have shown that inflammation may be involved in the pathogenesis of depression, meaning inflammation can be part of what creates or causes depression. In fact, it says some research has demonstrated that depression is frequently associated with gastrointestinal inflammations and autoimmune diseases, as well as with other ailments in which chronic low-grade inflammation is a significant contributing factor. And here to cite the website GreenMed, it says, an increasing number of clinical studies have shown that treating gastrointestinal inflammations with probiotics, vitamin B, vitamin D, and omega-3 fatty acids through actually attenuating pro-inflammatory stimuli to the brain may also improve depression symptoms and quality of life. So basically, it's saying take your probiotics and your omega-3 fatty acids and take your vitamin D, which is all that we've talked about.
Yeah, you want everything running pretty smooth down there. I know I get uncomfortable.
Well, you know, when you have long-term inflammation, whether there's a food intolerance or sensitivity like wheat, for example, and it's going undetected, or a dairy sensitivity that's undetected, and then you have this low-level inflammation in the gut, or maybe there was a past antibiotic use that threw the healthy flora or the biotics out of whack in the gut, and it was never restored. So we have this low-level inflammation, and there actually can be a connection between the gut and the brain that can be linked with depression. So, you know, know, we've talked a lot about taking probiotics, especially after antibiotic, taking the omega-3 fatty acids, which reduce inflammation in all of your cells, taking vitamin D, which stimulates serotonin. All of it is connected. And it's interesting how you, how the link between the gut and the brain is coming up in so many facets. We see it with autism. Now we're seeing it with depression. If you heal the gut, you heal your body.
Even trusting your gut.
That's right.
Whenever I leave the house and I feel like I forgot something, it's always right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Now, here's a fun thing. This came originally from Yahoo Shine, September of 2011. And it's the four biggest red flag words on packaged foods. So it poses the question, are the words written on food packaging honest? And what's interesting is these food corporations will actually hire lawyers to carefully craft words that are just barely on the side of legality.
Well, didn't they just change the name of high fructose? I was reading an article about that.
Yeah, high fructose corn syrup to corn sugar.
They were complaining about that.
Yeah, there's too much backlash with people like not believing that high fructose corn syrup is safe. There's just too much information out there. It's gone viral.
Right.
So
they're changing the name.
Yeah, they're changing the name to corn sugar, which sounds natural.
Right.
But it's not.
Did you see the warning label from McDonald's that I posted on Spinal Corrective Center's Facebook?
I did.
The ingredients in this food may be known to cause cancer in the state of California.
What?
Yeah.
That was on a
Go to Spinal Corrective Center's Facebook and look and you'll see that.
Wow.
So here's some red flags on food. If you see the word flavored, so whenever you see natural or artificial flavors, those are both made in laboratories. And natural flavors are not necessarily healthier than artificial flavors.
Yeah, so you see that word natural and you automatically think it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
So the key is if the word flavored is there, it's a red flag. Mm-hmm. The word pure. These lawyers love the word pure.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah, and 100% pure products such as orange juice can be doctored with flavor packs for aroma and taste. Yeah, pure doesn't mean much.
Yeah, pure is a nice word though.
It is a nice word.
That's why
so of
they
course
use
they
it.
Use it. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You feel all happy drinking it. And then have you ever seen something that uses the word nectar? It's really just a fancy name for not completely juice.
See, that's a nice word too.
I know.
So they're using all the,
Yeah, exactly. And then this one has been around for a while, but people know that fat-free. So for example, some cooking sprays are fat-free, but only if they're sprayed for a fraction of a second to produce this microscopic serving. So the serving may be fat-free, but it's because one serving is so little of something that it doesn't measure.
So they're stretching the truth.
If they think if they spray like 17 sprays that of I can't believe it's not butter spray.
It's then, still fat-free, right, which is not the case at all.
Of course not.
And to end with, we're going to talk about three food groups that can trigger a stroke. This came from Yahoo Health, September 2011. And it's interesting because I bet everyone... Well, maybe not everyone. Certainly not Jessica.
Please don't tell me it's Cheez-Its.
Most people probably have had them. Actually, Mike, yes. The first category is crackers, chips, and store-bought pastries and baked goods.
Really?
They are often high in trans fats, which are dangerous artery blockers and promote inflammation. And I would bet your favorite food would fall into that category.
Yeah, the first two at least. Crackers and chips.
The second group is smoked and processed meats because preservatives such as sodium nitrate and nitrite have been shown by researchers to directly damage blood vessels.
Wow. So I shouldn't be eating my bacon-wrapped Cheez-Its anymore.
and certainly not washing them down with diet soda. That's the third group. People who drink a diet soda a day may up their stroke risk by 48%.
Never touch the stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That stuff works great to clean toilets with, though, if you ever want to quit the stuff and you have extra in your house.
That's funny. Actually, I'm going to try that. So here's the takeaway, everyone. Eat your vegetables, take your omega-3s, get your adjustments, drink your water, try to stay away from drugs.
And
go
be
for
happy.
A walk.
Yeah, go for a walk. Be happy. Take your shoes off. Sit in the grass. Have fun. That's what we need to do, right?
I'm with you,
Absolutely.
Girl.
Absolutely.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.